What is going on, Australian football fans? My name is Lockie, and you have tuned into the CoSport Football Podcast, where we sit down to do deep dives into all things regarding the Socceroos, Matildas, A-League news. There's a lot going on this past week. Another big podcast. So glad that you can tune in for another episode, whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, available on all of the podcast platforms, the podcast, new episodes every single Tuesday. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how do I say this? The Matildas, we got absolutely thrashed. We got absolutely thrashed on the weekend against Spain. Going to be touching on that one and looking ahead to the friendly coming up against Portugal. We're going to be recapping all of the latest news when it comes to the A-League men's competition. Plenty of signings. Dude, I thought it was going to like ease up for a bit. It's been like over a month, right, since the A-League's wrapped up. It is as busy as ever. The amount of play movement, I feel like it's more than usual. So we're going to be recapping all of that later on in the episode. We're going to be talking about the Australia Cup, of course, just briefly. Of course, the draw for the round of 32 happening this Wednesday. And the Socceroos, some news regarding them. A couple big player signings for some Socceroos names. Some players joining some pretty decent clubs over in Europe. And also a shift in ranking. Socceroos move up in the FIFA rankings. Not by much, but it's something, so we'll take it. And very exciting, at the end of the episode, I'm going to be going through my top 10 A-League signings of the recent season. These are 10 players for me who made a really impressive impact. You know, not simply just the best players in the league, but signings, you know, clubs who needed to bring in a player to fulfill a certain role, to fulfill that position, maybe a weakness in their side, and players who certainly came in and had a very strong impact on their side. So, plenty going on. And first of all, I do want to touch on the live stream schedule. And I figured this is something we should probably do at the start of each podcast. The way I view this podcast is it's almost like this is like the center point. That's not the right word to use. This is sort of like the main show, if you like. This is the home base for CoSport Football, where sort of all the news gets discussed, everything goes on. Because, look, there's a lot of social media channels. There's a lot of different platforms. And CoSport Football, you know, I have so much fun creating content for heaps of different platforms. Video content on YouTube, slightly different video content video for TikTok, live stream stuff on Twitch, podcast stuff. And then, you know, you've got all the other platforms. This podcast is designed to be the one-stop shop where you won't really miss a thing. So I did want to open up by dropping my live stream schedule for the upcoming week, where I am on the different platforms, if you did want to catch me. So we're going to be live on Twitch this Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. On Twitch, we play some video games. It's really casual. We chat Australian football. So it's a bit more of a low-key stream over there on Twitch, but I'll be live on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Going to be live Wednesday morning for the live watch-along of Portugal v. Matildas, of course. Looking to bounce back after that disappointing defeat, which we're going to be talking about in just a second, to Spain. But that is Wednesday. 6 a.m. is kickoff. So we're going to be live on YouTube for that one. And then another Wednesday live stream. It's a very busy Wednesday this week. 7:30 p.m. we're going to be live on YouTube once again for FFA Cup. The Australia Cup. Round of 32, good draw. Got to get used to that name now. Australia Cup. I do like the name. I do like the name change. Australia Cup round of 32 draw. You can watch the draw live on, I believe it's on the My Football YouTube page. It's on 10 Play. It'll be on the Facebook page, the Australia Cup Facebook page. But if you want some fan chat, some fan discussion, I'm going to be sort of like posting the draw as it goes on the screen. So I'll be keeping you guys up to date to everything as well. So if you wanted to check out my stream, maybe alongside that, you can do so as well on Wednesday evening. And then once again, live on Twitch this Thursday, 7:30 p.m. So you can catch me on Twitch Tuesday and Thursday night this week from 7:30 p.m. But let's jump into our first topic, and we're going to get the bad stuff out of the way. My bad stuff, of course, we're talking about the Matildas' very disappointing result against Spain, 7-0. A result that, look, we know that Spain are a quality side. I think they're ranked 7th in the world in the women's FIFA rankings. But I don't know if anyone saw this. You know, the scoreline was so severe, especially for those that maybe weren't watching and woke up on Sunday morning and saw 7-0. Gee whiz. And we're going to run through the stats first of all. I think this sort of paints the picture nicely because I got the stats in front of me. We got 23 shots for Spain, 10 of those on target, and they had 76% possession. For Australia, we had 4 shots, only 1 on target, the 24% possession. It wasn't good enough. It simply wasn't good enough. We were, of course, missing some big names. That goes without saying, but we can't use that as an excuse. But at the same time, I guess that is a fair talking point because Andy Harper raised this in the post-game show on Channel 10 after the broadcast, Channel 10 broadcasting the game, and he sort of raised the question, why now? You know, why this, why now? You know, experimenting, shuffling around the side. You know, we played a 5-4-1 formation. It was so negative. It was so defensive. And look, for the first half, we have to give it to Gustafsson in the first half. I thought we did a decent job of nullifying Spain. We made it difficult for them. The first goal didn't come until after 44 minutes. We almost went into halftime nil all, which we did a live watch along for the game on YouTube, and I was saying during the live watch along, I was like, if we hold on, we're getting hammered here in the first half, but if we can hold on to nil all, just come out in the second half, some changes, maybe shift around the formation a bit, we're a chance to get something out of this game. But the second half just got incredibly worse. You could see the energy and the mental side of things as well. We didn't as soon as those first couple of goals went in early in that second half, it just felt like we were never going to be in it for the rest of the game. It was really disappointing to watch. It was great to see, you know, some fresh faces, you know, some new names get some game time, which was good to see. But I just wasn't a fan of just the negative lineup. If we look at the structure that the Matildas played, when the wingbacks, you know, Courtney Vine on the right, Tamiki Yallop on the left. I mean, Courtney Vine, for me, had some actually really good moments in the second half when she was shifted forward in sort of a right wing role. And I was like, why didn't we do this earlier? Why didn't we play maybe like a 4-3-3, a formation we've played more commonly in the past, if we wanted to chase the game, get something out of it? Tamiki Yallop, not a left back for me, of course. I mean, more effectively deployed as a midfielder. You know, and it was Larissa Crummer was playing up front at times. Emily Gilnick, just not in the game at all. Not in the game at all. And it's concerning because we are now basically pretty much exactly a year out from not just a Women's World Cup, but a Women's World Cup in our own country, in our nation. I don't think we should downplay the volume of that. And we shouldn't get old. You know, it shouldn't get old, that news, that the fact, right, that we are hosting a World Cup. It is massive. This is a monumental moment in Australian footballing history. We're hosting the Women's World Cup. In my opinion, with the star names that this Matilda side has, with the quality they have, we should be aiming to win the World Cup. We should be aiming to win the World Cup. We're hosting it. I know, of course, we're hosting it with New Zealand. But on home soil, we saw the Socceroos do it in the Asian Cup back in 2015. I know it's a completely different story with the Asian Cup, but we should be going into that tournament red hot. We should be going in with teams afraid to face Australia on home soil. We want opposition teams, regardless of if they're England, Sweden, Spain, the US, afraid to face Australia, want to avoid Australia in the World Cup on home soil. To lose 7-0, basically less than a year out from our own World Cup, is not acceptable. It's simply not acceptable. And us as Australian football fans, you know, really need to have now the magnifying glass, if it wasn't already, on Tony Gustafsson. And now all eyes are on the match against Portugal. Look, I know these are friendlies, of course, but this is the perfect time to take on a quality side like Spain, who are, you know, in deep into preparations for their Euro tournament, which is just around the corner for the Women's Euros 2022 competition. This is a great chance for us to really play a strong system, play a strong squad, and test ourselves. We can't be losing 7-0. That's inexcusable. And I don't care if it's a friendly, I don't care if we're experimenting. It's embarrassing. And we should be doing better. Even in friendlies, we should be doing better. I keep saying, even though it's a friendly, I don't even like saying that, man. Friendlies, I know they don't mean anything, but you know what I mean, right? Like, we do want to see some effort. That's Aussie spirit, right? That's Aussie spirit. We want to be going into every game trying to win, trying to be competitive. So look, it was a really disappointing result. The other stat that I didn't mention as well, 65% pass accuracy from the Matildas. 65%. Compare that to 89% for Spain. 65%. Simply, whenever we got ourselves on the ball, we just gave it away. We barely broke out of our own half. It was really disappointing. For me, honestly, as far as I can recall, it's the worst Matildas performance I've ever seen. Again, I've been watching football for, you know, around about 20 years now. But I can't recall a worse performance. It was terrible. That's the negative news. I know I'm sounding very negative, but look, I'm so passionate about this Matilda side. And you just heard me a couple minutes ago saying I want to win this World Cup. I'm so disappointed because I'm so passionate about having a successful World Cup campaign next year. I just want to make sure we're having the right preparation. I know we're a year out, but you start preparing now, man. You start preparing, right? So, look, the reason why I'm so passionate about it is, yeah, that's why I just want to make sure we go into this World Cup campaign on good spirits. There is time to turn it around. There is time to turn it around. But we do take on Portugal Wednesday morning. Portugal, some of their recent results, they've actually kept 3 consecutive clean sheets in the last few games, a couple of friendlies and also a World Cup qualifier recently. So 3-0 against Bulgaria in that World Cup qualifier. And then they played a couple of friendlies against Greece, 4-0, 1-0 wins respectively. So they're in some decent form, Portugal, but a much more beatable side. When you look at the rankings as well, with the Portuguese side, much more closer to Australia on the rankings as well. So I think we should be looking at the Portugal game and at least hoping for, you know, at least if we can get a win by at least one goal, you know, a 1-0, you know, 2-1 win, we'll take that. But again, it will be a tough game, I'm sure, against another quality side who's preparing for the upcoming Euros. Also coming up regarding the women's national team is the AFF Women's Championship, which is a tournament, not a very high-profile tournament. It's a bit confusing. When you look at information around it, it's almost hard to find. But it is the Australian women's team, but it'll be, they're saying, a more of a representative team. So not necessarily the all-stars Matildas that we're used to seeing, but there will be some Matildas names involved in the squad. But those games are taking place from the 4th of July, the group's games, from the 4th of July all the way through to the 12th of July. There's 5 games: Philippines, Thailand, Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia. These are the nations that we are taking on, and I believe there are 2 groups in the tournament. So look, not a high-profile tournament, but still a good chance maybe for some of these. Those are the sorts of tournaments where you experiment, where you rotate things around. Not a friendly against one of the top sides in the world, right? Those tournaments are when you do that sort of thing, experimenting around. But it will be good to keep an eye on the Australian women's side in that tournament well, which is coming up. First game against Philippines, Monday the 4th of July. Let's shuffle on to our A-League news now. And there is plenty going on, as I mentioned earlier, when it comes to A-League signings. And the big one we're going to open up with. Brisbane Roar have officially signed Charlie Austin. Has been in the, has been rumours, whispers about it for the past couple of weeks now. It has finally been confirmed. He has signed on a multi-year deal. This is a great signing for Brisbane. This is a great signing for the A-League. It really is a big one. Now, it's a lot of conjecture, a lot of discussion on how Charlie Austin will go settling into the A-League. I think we tend to look at, you know, past strikers, especially strikers, you know, English strikers who have come over, you know, former Premier League strikers. Some of them have done all right, some of them maybe not so good. Daniel Sturridge, of course, being the most recent one. I'm sure that Charlie Austin will have a better run than Daniel Sturridge. Hopefully at least play some more games than Daniel Sturridge. Hopefully score a goal. A goal would be nice. But look, I think with a Brisbane side that has Jay O'Shea, there is always potential there to, you know, that Jay O'Shea-Charlie Austin partnership could become really, really dangerous. That has the potential to be a really threatening partnership. I think for me, Brisbane Roar are still lacking a few more signings. I think they need to bring a few more names in before we consider them a finals contender. I said it this time last year when Brisbane were preparing for the campaign. They didn't have a strong squad, and they were one of the few teams I got right in my ladder prediction. I predicted Brisbane to drop away and fall out of the top 6, and they did. And they still need to be bringing in some more names because off the top of my head, I don't think they've brought anyone in. I mean, they re-signed Anton Mlinarić from Sydney FC. He was already on loan at the club last season. But this is really the first new signing for Brisbane. They do have to bring in a few more, especially attacking signings, in my opinion. But it's not the last piece of news regarding Brisbane. They are set to play 3 games this season at Suncorp Stadium. And there's also a new sponsor for Brisbane Roar as well, which is going to be on the front of their shirts. And just this past week, in the last couple of days, there was a leak across Twitter. I retweeted it if you wanted to check it out, unless it's been deleted, of a kit leak, a photo of an Instagram story of some of the kits there. But this is good and bad news, I guess, for Brisbane Roar fans. I've seen a lot of people, and I've had messages from Roar fans talking about Moreton Daly Stadium and Suncorp Stadium and where Brisbane play. And I've seen heaps of Brisbane Roar fans say that they haven't attended Brisbane Roar game in years. because they don't play at Suncorp Stadium, because they play out at Redcliffe, which is, from what we've heard, I don't know my Brisbane geography too well, is really difficult to get to. Not difficult to get to, but it's just, it's a distance away from the CBD. Look at three. When it was announced, I initially thought, I assumed they're playing the whole season now. I was like, this is awesome. They're back at Suncorp, going to build some more excitement, but they're only there for three games. It will be interesting to see what games they pick to play there. You'd imagine they'd be against high profile sides, you know, maybe Sydney FC, maybe a Melbourne Victory. But hopefully they can expand to more than three games for coming seasons. Sydney FC transfer news. Miloš Ninković officially has departed the club. This was announced last week, but this is a recap of all of the news from the past week. Strong links with him to Western Sydney Wanderers. Hasn't been announced at the time of this recording, unless they drop it late Monday night, because I'm recording this Monday, Arvo. So Ninković potentially is set to join Wanderers. We'll keep an eye out for that one. Alex Wilkinson and Patrick Wood have re-signed for the upcoming season. And Ben Warland has terminated the final year of his contract. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up too. Wouldn't mind Ben Warland at Central Coast Mariners, my team. He's a decent little centre-back, and Mariners are certainly in the need some defensive reinforcements. As I take a sip of tea, Western Sydney Wanderers, speaking of Mariners, Ollie Bezanic, the former Mariners captain, has signed a two-year deal at Western Sydney Wanderers. Wanderers, of course, continuing their rebuild. Yeni Nbakoto has signed for the Wanderers as well. A 30-year-old French winger has experience in the English Championship and Ligue 1. And Gabriel Clerc has signed a three-year deal with the Wanderers after playing some football in the lower leagues in Italy. Melbourne Victory, some news regarding them. Jason Davidson, Brendan Hamill have departed the club, as has Francesco Margiotta. But re-signing for the upcoming season, a couple important defensive re-signings, Matt Sporanovic and Jason Guerrier. And lastly, there was a rumour this past week I saw from Aussie Scout on Twitter. Aussie Scout reporting that Paul Izzo, apparently in negotiations with Tony Popovich and Melbourne Victory, which would be quite interesting, you know, because even Kalava, I can't see them dropping even Kalava, even though there was a little bit of controversy surrounding him and his performances from the past season in the A-League. No doubting his passion for the club, even Kalava. But Paul Izzo would be a decent pickup, of course, formerly of Adelaide United, the Central Coast Mariners. But it is an interesting one, so we'll keep an eye out for that one, whether that actually eventuates. Central Coast Mariners, of course, plenty of news for them in the past week. Garren Kowal signed a pro contract, keeping him at the club until 2024. Sam Silvera rejoins on a three-year deal, which was the big one that sort of surprised me. Didn't see it coming, but Sammy Silvera back at the club. Benny Kalolo signs on for the next two seasons. Storm Brew, Yaron Souza sign on for the upcoming season. And according to Aussie Scout on Twitter, Nektarios Triantis, a defender from the Wanderers Academy, linked with the Mariners. And lastly, I did want to bring up this piece of news from the Central Coast Mariners as well, because I thought this was really good. And look, I don't know if other clubs do this. I'm not aware of it. If they do, let me know. But this might just be a Mariners thing. My club memberships, these thing called My Club memberships, are available for children aged 4 to 12 who play any sport on the Central Coast. And they're available for $30. For $30, if your child on the Central Coast plays sport, plays any sport, before it used to be just football, but any sport, they can now get a $30 membership. That's access to every Central Coast Mariners home game. This is awesome. This is awesome. And this is exactly what we need. If other clubs aren't doing it, let's get on it. Every club do it. Every club do it. Let's build up these numbers. This is a great way to do it. And look, just a massive bonus that it's not just football. It's every sport. You know, I'm sure that, you know, there's the kids, whether they're playing, you know, rugby league, you know, Aussie rules football, you know, netball, cricket, anything, hockey, you know, that would be love to get them involved in football and get them supporting, especially, I mean, for the Central Coast, the only professional sporting team on the Central Coast. So, great initiative there by the Mariners. Newcastle Jets signing news. Rene Piscopo signs a two-year deal for the club. Decent pickup for the Jets. Daniel Pena, his departure was confirmed this past week, heading overseas to a club in Asia. And a recent signing just in the last few days, Trent Bahagia has signed a two-year deal with the Jets. Of course, Bahagia spending the last few years at Sydney FC, before that at the Mariners. So completing his New South Wales club tour. But that is a decent little pickup as well for Newcastle Jets. And another Aussie Scout rumour, Mark Natter, apparently linked with Newcastle Jets, the young centre-back, again from Wanderers. Melbourne City looks like they've signed their replacement for the departing Connor Metcalf, who's heading over to Germany. Richard van der Ven has signed a two-year deal with City. He's Dutch, he's a midfielder, and he's 30 years of age, has played almost all of his football, I believe, in the Netherlands over there in Europe. Decent little signing. Keen to see how he goes. I just rather keep saying decent signing to all these signings, but you know what I mean? It looks like a decent little pickup, though. Van de Ven, from what it looks like, will be that replacement for Connor Metcalf in that City midfield. Perth Glory have signed Mark Beavers, central defender, who's played much of his football in the lower leagues in England, 32 years of age. Costa Barbarousis rejoins Wellington Phoenix. Quick fire transfers all over the place, aren't there? Costa Barbarousis, of course, rejoins the club. This is his third stint now at Wellington Phoenix. Adelaide United have signed on Bernardo Oliveira for a two-year extension. And James Delianov has also re-signed for the next couple years. MacArthur FC have kept Philip Cotto on for the upcoming season. That is a good signing for MacArthur. Philip Cotto is a quality keeper. And Jake McGing, Charles Mombwa have signed two-year extensions at the Bulls. So that's all the A-League signing news from the past week. If you want to get a more in-depth, I guess, video on that. There's been weekly videos on the Coast Butch Football YouTube channel. Every single Friday, we've been doing the A-League transfer recap video, which has been a whole lot of fun. Of course, coming up this Wednesday, we have the Australia Cup draw. And I, can I just say right now, I'm really looking forward to it, man, just because the Australia Cup is exciting because we go through this off-season having no football. Australia Cup comes around, middle of winter. You get to look forward to some fixtures, even if it's, you know, a regional trip just to last season for me, for the Mariners, out in Mudgee, which was a lot of fun, man. We've been out to Mudgee a couple of seasons ago. We went out to Maitland as well. So, I'm honestly looking forward to, hopefully we do get another regional trip. It'd be fun. But of course, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, that draw happening this Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And make sure to join me live on the Coast Watch Football YouTube channel for the live reaction for that one. Oh, that's some good tea. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are enjoying the podcast so far. If you are, you can leave a rating. It's a star rating, whether you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So if you want to show your support, make sure you leave a rating on this episode. Time to talk about some brief Socceroos news right now. The Australian national men's team have gone up three places in the rankings. Hoorah! 42 up to 39. Nice little jump after defeating UAE, after defeating Peru in those recent World Cup playoffs. Good stuff, man. It's good. It brings us just a little bit closer to Tunisia, who are in our World Cup group, are the team we are closest to. Tunisia are ranked 30th in the world, and we are 39. Which, you know, when you put it like that, you look at us both in the 30s, you think, okay, that's a winnable game. So it's bringing us closer to our opponents in a World Cup group there. That ranking actually, as well, worth mentioning, brings us now fourth. It puts us fourth in Asia, behind Iran, Japan, and Korea Republic. So decent stuff there. Some signing news for some Aussie stars. Awoomer Bill this past week signed for Cadiz CF. In La Liga, he signed a four-year contract at the club. Great news for Awoomer Bill. And you want these guys playing in a good environment, preparing for this World Cup. And this looks like it's going to be a great club for Awoomer Bill, playing at a great level too. There's been some talk, you know, I've seen a lot of words thrown around regards to the fact that there's not enough Socceroos names playing at high levels. You know, we only have a couple of names playing at, you know, a top five European league. And Awoomer Bill now joins that club. So great for Awa. And Jason Davidson has signed for Cas Eupen in Belgium. Sorry if I'm butchering that Belgium club's name. But that is a great move for Jason Davidson, who I'm sure has aspirations of being on that plane to Qatar come November. All right, time to jump on to the big one now. This one's going to be very fun to dive into. We are now going to talk about my top 10 A-League signings of the season from this past season, 2021-22. There's been some star players who have had some fantastic campaigns across the A-League this past season. And these aren't necessarily just the top 10 players in the league. These are players who came in and fulfilled a specific role for their club. The club, you know, had a weakness, had a void that needed filling. These guys came in and did a fantastic job and had a great impact in just this past season in the A-League. So let's kick it off at number 10. We have Melbourne Victory striker Nick D'Agostino, who joined the club from Perth Glory last year. He picked up 10 goals in 26 appearances, as well as a couple crucial goals in the FFA Cup campaign when Melbourne Victory, of course, picked up that trophy. D'Agostino, a striker who has been involved in the A-League system for a while, started at Brisbane Roar, went over to Perth Glory, always had that potential. You know, we saw him get some game, some minutes in the past years for the Aussie Roos as well. Really stepped up, really matured at Melbourne Victory under the leadership of Tony Popovich. And, you know, he wasn't the only player at Victory that Tony Popovich, you know, helped take their game to another level. We saw the likes of, you know, Ben Folami, Jake Brimmer go up into next gear as well. So Nick D'Agostino had a really solid campaign for Victory and earned a Socceroos call up mid-season as well. Nine for me in the list of top 10 A-League signings of the season is Ben Garuccio, Western United. Because I think this is a really smart little piece of business. John Aloisi comes into Western United, needs to sort of bring in some players, rebuild the squad a little bit. Western United had a disappointing campaign the season before, if you remember. Ben Garuccio's chilling on the bench at the recent recently crowned champions, Melbourne City. John Aloisi goes, I'll have that thing. I'll pluck this one away from you, thanks. Takes Ben Garuccio over to the West, Western United, and turns him into one of the best left backs in the competition. Ben Garuccio had a fantastic season. Of course, highlighting that fantastic season was that iconic Scorpion goal, fantastic goal for Ben Garuccio. He had a great campaign. West United teammate is joining him in this list as well. In eighth place, I've got Neil Kilkenny, who was brought over from Perth Glory. I think when you look at what Western United built this season, I don't know if they could have achieved what they achieved if they didn't have the leadership and creative ability of Neil Kilkenny. I mean, he was the Andrea Pirlo of the league, if you like. He was the Xavi of that Western United side, creating things from that deep-lying midfield position. Fantastic stuff. Neil Kilkenny really fulfilled a role there for Western United this past season. Coming into seven is the first mid-season signing, Gail Sandoval at Wellington Phoenix. What an impact he had joining Wellington. Had a bit of a shaky start to the campaign, the Phoenix. You know, people were writing them off before this campaign. They needed creativity. They needed attacking players. They didn't replace Ulysses de Villa heading into the A-League season. They went to Mexican Gail Sandoval in January, and he scored 6 goals, 5 assists in just 20 games. It was a really decent impact for a player who had, you know, had to make an instant impact. They brought him in mid-campaign, and I remember he scored on debut as well. He had a really solid impact for his Wellington side. It was a shame that they couldn't keep him around for this upcoming season as well. Sixth place on this list is Roderick Miranda from Melbourne Victory. You know, the former Wolverhampton centre-back came into this side and slotted in really, really well. And especially for the last couple months of the season where Melbourne Victory just went on that incredible winning streak. It was an undefeated streak there at the end. Roderick Miranda was the key to that back line. He was so consistent and played with passion too. You could see him when he would play. He was really, really playing for the badge of the shirt there. You could tell that he loved his time at Melbourne Victory and was a massive factor as to why Melbourne Victory came so close to finishing top of the table there. But he was crucial for Victory this season. Top five now. Here's the top five signings for me from this past A-League season. And number five is Beka Mikkeltatsi. What a season the Georgian had. Beka Mikkeltatsi came into that Jets side. Of course, they needed some new attackers after finishing second last the previous campaign. 13 goals, 3 assists in 24 appearances. Superb player, combined really well with his other attackers, and he's not the only Newcastle name that's going to be mentioned in this list. But at number four, I've got another Wellington player. And this guy, I feel like, maybe out of all the players on this list, probably flew under the radar. But his value to his team is just absolutely massive. Scott Wootton at Wellington Phoenix. The other mid-season signing, I guess Gail Sandoval stole the spotlight because he was this, the high-profile sort of attacking signing. Scott Wootton tied up that defense and locked them down and was a massive reason as to why Wellington played finals football in season 2021-22. The Englishman, I mean, look, he didn't have the most impressive CV. He'd been playing, I guess, in the lower divisions of England. You know, nothing, no major club names, no disrespect or anything, but Scott Wooten came into the A-League. And again, just like Sandoval, settled in so quickly and just helped steer that Wellington back line, helped steer that Wellington side into the top six. Fantastic, fantastic stuff from Scott Wooten. Number three for me is Central Coast Mariners, Jason Cummings. I mean, he had to be on the list, right? You guys are expecting it. You're expecting it. 10 goals, 5 assists in just 21 games. What a return for Jason Cummings. Again, a player who arrived mid-season and made an instant impact. Had some really impressive performances, especially towards the end of the season. That F3 derby away to Newcastle Jets, where he grabbed a double, almost had a hat trick. He just had such a great performance. Week in, week out, Jason Cummings was putting in a shift for Central Coast Mariners. It was very rare that he had a quiet game for the Mariners. And the exciting thing now for Central Coast fans is that he's sticking around for the next couple seasons. Jason Cummings could well and truly tear it up in the A-League next season with a full preseason under his belt down under. Time we come to the final two. And if you follow the A-League closely this year, these top two won't be a surprise. But coming in at number two, and look, this might be contentious. You could probably put either of these in either spot. Number two, Daniel Peña from Newcastle Jets. 4 goals, 11 assists in 23 games. Daniel Peña was simply electric. He was exactly the kind of signing that Jets needed. They were so dull. They were so poor towards the end of the previous season. They needed these attacking players to come in and perform, and Daniel Peña absolutely did that. It was so dynamic and so exciting to watch, and combined so well with his fellow attackers. That partnership alongside Becca Mikkeldatsi was superb, combining with Bumal, combining with, whether it was Siatravanis, Valentino Yul. Daniel Peña was just that star. In every single week, we just spoke about Daniel Peña. Everyone's eyes were on Daniel Peña. It's a massive shame he didn't stick around the A-League. There were rumors linking him to Sydney FC, where he was going to stick around at Newcastle again. He's unfortunately heading overseas to Asia. He won't be staying in Australia, but a fantastic impact. What an incredible impact Peña had, not just on Newcastle, but on the league, bringing some real excitement and getting some fans off their seats at stadiums, that's for sure. Number one for me has to be the Swiss giant Leo Lacroix from Western United. 3 goals, 1 assist from the centre back. So he chipped in here and there, but 27 matches, just so consistent and defensively so strong. And look, Western United might not have won that championship if it wasn't for the defensive ability that Leo Lacroix possesses, was able to lead that defense. His partnership, whether it was alongside, it was chopping and changing. Nicolai Topor-Stanley was there. Tomoki Imai was there. But Leo Lacroix was, only missed a couple games throughout the entire season and was just so impressive from game one. I mean, the impact that he had in those early rounds, he was already catching the eyes of fans. And just week in, week out, just dominating opposition strikers. And for me, when you look at that Western United, where Western United were a year before, this time a year ago, needing to bring in quality reinforcements, I mean, what an impact Leo Lacroix had to come in and just dominate this league as a centre back. So look, it says a lot saying that Leo Lacroix, a central defender, is number one for me in the top 10 A-League signings of the season. So there's my top 10. Just to recap, in 10th spot, Nick D'Agostino, 9, Ben Garuccio, 8, Neil Kilkenny, 7, Gail Sandoval, 6, Roderick Miranda, 5, Becca Mikkeldadze, 4, Scott Wooten, 3, Jason Cummings, 2, Daniel Peña, and number 1, Leo Lacroix. Let me know, who were some top signings for you that impressed from this past A-League season? We'd love to hear them. But that wraps up the podcast for this week, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you keep an eye on my live streams this week, live on Twitch, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. We're doing the Matildas Portugal watch-along Wednesday, 6 a.m. We're doing the Australia Cup round of 32 draw live reaction on Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. And then once again, live on Twitch this Thursday, 7:30 p.m. If you have enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a star rating if you're listening on any podcast platform. And make sure you follow Coastal Football across all of the socials. Have a fantastic week, guys, and I'll see you in the next one.